Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Sharon. Welcome to the show.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go!
Joining me and my co-host, Dr. Ira Lake, here on the Marketing Pulpit. We're always delighted when you decide to join us because, well, we just like having your company. And we say it all the time. Thank you so much for your support. And for those who've been with us since day one, oh, we just love, love, love you. Thank you so much. And for those who may be new to the show today, welcome. If you have a question or comment, feel free to dial in 215-383-3872, 215-383-3872, and push option 1, and you will be put into the queue for questions. And my co-host, Dr. Lake, is on the show with us today. Dr. Lake, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Glad to be with you again.
Well, we're glad that you're with us today as well. How was your weekend?
Busy. Chicago and Atlanta.
Really?
Yeah, Chicago and Atlanta. But I'm home now. I'm back with you.
But, yes, right where you need to be. And I'm so glad that you're here. And, you know, we've had some, you know, really interesting top lined up for the guest, and we have another one today. And, of course, we're back in our series, Preparing for the Unexpected. We are back in that series, and we should be finalizing on that one and bringing some new information to you. But before we do, I just want to remind you that if you are a business and you have services and products that you'd like to offer, we do have a directory that you can list that on at our website at www.marketingpulpit.com. www.marketingpulpit.com. Put your information in there. Let our listeners know who you are, the services you provide, and guess what? It is absolutely free. That's right, it's free. So please feel free to do that. And once again, we just want to welcome you to the show. Well, Doctor, we're going to dive right in because, as you know, this show goes by so quickly. And we want to go ahead and dive right in. And, of course, we are in a series preparing for the unexpected. And today, we're continuing the subject grief. Doctor, last week we talked about grieving the living. And we were discussing Alzheimer's. We had some wonderful guests on the show with us. So if you missed that show, just go to our archive, www.marketingpulpit.com. You will find that there. But today, therapist, I want to talk about grief. I want to delve a little bit into the holidays. You know, we have the holidays coming up, and I want to talk a little bit about all of that. So you and I have talked about this. We have been prepared for this subject, and I would just like for you to just give us an idea as to what grief is. And I know people experience it in different ways. But what, when you speak of grief and you talk to clients about grief, what are we actually talking about grieving?
Well, we're talking about a profound sense of physical and or emotional loss. And it is easy to it's not easy to always explain because there are several symptoms or signs, but no one has them all. It can just vary, but it can really be boiled down to a profound sense of emotional and physical loss.
Okay. And you know what I want to do today, Doctor, because, you know, even if a person hasn't dealt with grief, they may know family or friends or people at work that may be dealing with grief. And I know people may be wondering, well, how does that tie in with the marketing pulpit? Well, you know, our mission is to build strong businesses so that we can put people to work. We really do want to build strong businesses so that we can put people to work. And by building strong businesses, you have to have strong team members. You have to have strong employees. And sometimes, you know, we experience loss. And we talked about, we went into an introduction of the stages of grief. And I know that they mentioned that there are 5 stages of grief. And I just want to go through those briefly, because for those who may deal with someone that are going through grief right now, you need to know what those stages are so that you recognize them and that you are sensitive to stages. And Doctor, what I want to do first of all is talk about denial, what that looks like. And again, we know that people experience grief in different ways, but denial, tell us a little bit about the stage of denial.
It's really a form of shock. I don't believe this has happened, or why did this happen to me, or this is unreal, I'm dreaming. So those are forms of denial where you have not come to terms with what has happened, what you have lost, what you are experiencing emotionally and physically. Denial.
Okay. And I think that's an interesting stage, denial, because it really has no set time when it sets in. It could just happen. It may take a while before it happens. However, I know it's popularly believed that this is probably one of the first stages of grief. Denial. And the next stage that I want to just, and again, I'm going to briefly go through these because I just want the listeners to be aware of what a person who's, whether they've lost a loved one. And Doctor, you've talked about this before, that grief doesn't necessarily have to be the loss of a person, that it could be the loss of other things. Can you just share with us once again, what are some other losses that people may be dealing with where they will go through some of these stages as well?
Like you said, this thing is deeper than just death. Every day we're losing something, and we must constantly be coming to terms with it, processing it. For an older person, it could be your mobility. It could be your memory. It could be a loss of a job, a loss of a home, a loss of a relationship. All of those things are lost, and the emotional reactions are the same as if something or someone has died. There is a denial that this thing has happened. I'm in shock. I must be dreaming. It couldn't be. But those are other things that we are constantly losing: hair, eyesight, the ability to move, money. Those are things that can prompt grief that can prompt grieving and denial.
Well, that's interesting because, like I mentioned, when you first shared that, I'd never really thought of that. I really basically thought of going through the stages of grief when you lose someone that's really dear to you. And, of course, you know that we all experience it. Our family is going through that as well. So the first stage we talked about is denial. And the next stage is anger. When people are grieving, sometimes they get angry. What does that look like? And share with us a little bit about the stage, anger.
And anger has many forms as well. And so once the shock wears off, there are other emotions that come to play. And anger is at the top of the list. I'm mad that this has happened. I'm angry because this does not make sense. I'm angry because this was injustice. I'm angry because I'm afraid this could happen to me. So anger is a natural outbreak of the grieving process in which the person has some bitter feelings about whatever has happened, whatever loss has occurred.
Mm-hmm. And you know what's interesting in this stage as well, and of course I can speak, you know, from experience, and I'm sure you can too, but it's very possible to get angry at your loved one. You know, especially, for instance, if someone lost someone as a result of, you know, negligence, or you lost someone through overdose, or you lost someone through suicide, it's possible to get angry at that person that is no longer here. Is that normal, a natural process for people to get angry at the one that they lost?
Yes, particularly if it appears that the person who has passed away could have prevented it. You know, going to the doctor in a timely manner, or following doctor's orders, but then anger can also be directed at yourself. What could I have done mm-hmm. differently? Why didn't I think of that, see that, do that, respond that way? Why? How come I didn't do it sooner? So anger can be both directed internally at yourself and externally at either other people or the person himself or herself.
Well, that's interesting, because I know I lost some dear friends several years ago. And I did. I went through it wasn't a long bout, but I was really upset. I was upset because I was like, why did you do this? You know, look at what, as a result of you not being here, this is, you know, years ago when I lost some friends, and then being angry at yourself. You're so right. Could I have done something differently if I had maybe just called, or if I had made this suggestion? So anger and guilt are really huge. The next stage that I want to let our listeners know, because I really want you to be aware of these stages, bargaining.
Yes.
Tell us about bargaining. What is that all about?
You know, we still haven't fully come to terms with what has happened. And so we attempt to reason, make deals, in an attempt to rectify a situation, to bring something back. It's really another form of denial, because I can't accept it. So here's what I'll do. If I do this, then I'm expecting this to happen. And it's all about reversal. But it's a deeper form of denial. So we often make bargains, or we try to make deals. God, if you get me out of this, or if you can turn this thing around, then I promise I'll do this, that, or the other. And it is still not accepting what has taken place.
Bargaining. And next stage, depression. We've talked about so far denial, anger, bargaining. Bargaining, just, you know, I'll do this if you heal the person, I'll do this. If you take this pain away, I'll making promises, bargaining. Now, depression. Now, this is pretty huge, and I think depression may take time to develop, or could happen right away. But tell us about depression and its ability to kind of sneak up on you.
Well, again, there are no time limits between these various stages of grief. For some people, they can go through them rather quickly. For others, again, there's no timetable. It could be years, months. It's not unheard of. People 13, 14, 15 years old still haven't, 15 years later, they're still in these various stages. So let's not get caught up with time frames. But what does happen is, eventually, after all I've said, all I've promised, nothing has changed. I still don't have any resolution or closure. I still don't maybe understand everything or the reasons why. And so I have no alternative. I don't know what else to do. And so my mood changes. My anger turns into reclusiveness. I become withdrawn. I lose the zeal and motivation for life. Nothing looks good, tastes good, seems good. And so I can go into these bouts of depression, and some people have died because of depression. You can literally die from depression. And so that's why it's good when you are grieving to get professional help, because if you're not careful, you can talk yourself so badly down into a state of mind that nothing can bring you out. And actually, you would welcome death. You just welcome, I want to die. And so it's a pseudo attempt to die, where you're not trying to outwardly kill yourself, but you're not doing anything to live.
That's really powerful. And when we come back further in the show, we are going to let our listeners know how they can get in touch with you if they are feeling themselves in that place where it's a silent thing and they'd rather not be here as opposed to going on in life without their loved one. And one of the fifth stages of grief, which, again, is basically popularly believed that there are five stages of grief, acceptance. Now, acceptance, I guess, is an interesting one as well. But tell us about acceptance and how sometimes loved ones or friends can confuse acceptance with healing or recovering from a loss. Just because you accept it, does that mean that you've healed or recovered from the loss?
I don't believe a person ever totally heals, because the pain is always there. It is just not as intense. And so I don't confuse healing with acceptance. Acceptance is I will accept the fact, or I will live my life now knowing that there is nothing I could have done. What has happened, and I've got to move on. But I'm still going to feel at some point the loss, the pain of what has been taken from me. And that's okay. That means you can move on. You can get back to living. And there will be little reminders throughout a day or a year or a month or a week that will draw your remembrance, and you'll go back and have some painful experiences. But it should never be as intense as it was when the incident first happened.
Well, I tell you, this is really, really interesting. And again, listeners, I really just want you to be aware of the stages of grief. You may be going through these stages, or you may know someone that has lost a loved one. And also, as Dr. Lake mentioned, they may have lost a job or something like that. And you really need to know what the stages of grief are. And when we come back, we are going to give you some suggestions on how to help a friend, how to help a loved one, possibly even help yourself during the holidays, because we know grief can be really a trying time through the holidays, losing someone. So when we come back, we are going to give you some suggestions on how to deal with loved ones and friends who are grieving through the holidays right here on the Marketing Pulpit.
What's going on, people? It's your boy, Zay Lee, Reflect Nation, stand up. And you are listening to Sharon Bennett on the Marketing Pulpit.
Thank you so much again for joining us here on the Marketing Pulpit. Myself and Dr. Ira Lake, my co-host. And we are in our series, Preparing for the Unexpected, and we're talking about grief. Now, and before we left on the break, we mentioned that we were going to give you some suggestions on what you can do if someone that you know or care for is grieving through the holidays. What are some things that you could do? Now, therapists, grief through the holidays, I know that's something that you deal with your clients. Just give us some idea as to what you've experienced with clients as far as grief through the holidays, and if that's something that friends need to be aware of.
I've got to tell you, Sharon, starting with this month's holiday, this last 2 weeks, it has been some of the busiest time in my life. People are clamoring, calling almost 24/7, trying to get in to see me. Not just me, but therapists all over. There's something about the holidays, while festive and exciting, it also is a reminder of maybe what you don't have. And holiday blues is legitimate. Maybe I'm sad because I don't have money and I can't do what I would like to do. Maybe I'm isolated and I'm in a nursing home. Maybe I don't have family in and around where I live. And so holidays can also bring out the worst, because it's a time of excitement and being around other people. And so this is a yearly phenomenon. People literally go into depression, suicide rates jump up. When you would think that with all that's going on, people would be more happy, more enthusiastic, but that's not the case at all. And so what I tell people, and I try to keep it as simple as possible, don't isolate yourself. Don't isolate. You've got a church friend. You've got, I don't know, maybe you live in a senior home. If you've got family around, the goal is to be around other people so you don't feel like you're all by yourself or isolated. Stay away from isolation.
Mm-hmm. Okay, stay away from isolation. And for those who may know someone who has lost loved ones, we want to give you some suggestions too, because you know, during the holiday, traditions typically are festive. You have family and friends that are gathering, and usually you're dealing with wonderful, happy feelings. Well, the holiday, like Dr. Lake mentioned, can be especially tough for those who've lost loved ones. So what are some things that you can do? What are some things that you can do for your friends or family during the holiday? One of the things that you can do is be supportive. Be supportive of how they choose to handle their holiday. They may not choose to do it traditionally. They may choose to do something different. Be supportive. Therapist, how important is it to be supportive during the holiday?
Well, that's big. And support can look in a variety of sports can being supportive can look different. There's no one way to support. Maybe it is offering to come by and keep company. Maybe supportive is, hey, look, I'm here for you. If you need me, you can pick up the phone and call me. Maybe supportive is taking the person out of their doldrums and doing something different, changing the routine a minute or two in a day. There's all kinds of ways to be supportive. Letter writing. What I have found and what I encourage is, if people are becoming depressed or suffering from holiday blues, get out, volunteer. They're all, particularly Thanksgiving and Christmas, there are all kinds of churches and civic groups who are feeding people. Go volunteer your time putting Christmas bags together. Or out here in California, we have thousands of volunteers who go and help make these floats that you see on the Rose Bowl celebration. Go and look for things that you can get yourself involved with, because you will find that you can work yourself out of your blues by participating in a variety of activities. Go to the house, people who are sick, shut in. Go to the nursing home. Yeah, you may be down, but adopt a family. Hey, look, for the next 30 days, I'm going to take you guys, you know, whatever you got to do. Cook a meal. Take it down to the park. Feed the homeless. Gather blankets, coats. Get busy. When you're in isolation, you don't want to do anything. You look sorry. You look sorry. You feel sorry for yourself. Get out. Get involved. Stay away from these isolating moments when you feel like the whole world has passed you by and you have no other alternative but want to lay down and die.
And, you know, I think that's really good advice. And for those who – and I do want you to speak to those, doctor, who just don't want to. I mean, they just don't want to do that because they don't want to get out. They don't want to. They don't want to. It's not comfortable. They're hurting. Sometimes it's not only thoughtful, but it could be life-saving and life-changing if a friend says, hey, listen, we're going to go feed the homeless. We are going to go. I want you to come to this program with me. How important is that for friends or caregivers or loved ones just to say, hey, we're going to go do this. Let's just go. I'm going to go shopping with you. I'm coming over to help with the holiday lights. Said, hey, we're going to go and volunteer today. Sometimes you have to ask the person or just make them do it, you know, especially if you see that they're spiraling down into a state of depression. How important is that for someone to help take the lead for that person or individual?
Well, like you said, it's sometimes we can get ourselves into so deep of a funk that we need help getting out of. And every little thing, it can be something small and minuscule that changes the routine, that changes and puts a period on a period in your life where you have to do something different, can be enough to bring you out of your doldrum and depression. So when you think about depression, you think of somebody who has isolated him or herself, who has no contact with anybody. They prefer to kind of, you know, be by themselves in the room, in the bed, drapes drawn, and somebody comes along and pushes them out of that where they are, and it can literally bring life back to them. So never underestimate what a simple visit, a phone call can do. It could be the very thing that lifts somebody up and takes them from their depression, which can turn deadly, into something where they feel productive again.
Wow, that's powerful. And, you know, doctor, when we come back, I'm going to share some powerful sentences that friends and loved ones can use for those who may be going through grief or loss during the holidays. When we come back right here on the Marketing Pulpit.
Gatewood Marketing is a company that can take you from your small beginnings to your moderate business operation on into websites and marketing, everything. So I thank the Lord for Robert and Gatewood Marketing.
Hi, everybody. It's Sharon. When we left on our break, I mentioned to you that I was going to share with you some powerful statements that you can share with those who may be going through loss of a loved one or any other type of loss during the holiday. And I think these are some powerful statements, and I kind of just want to share some of them with you today. And therapists, of course, I want to get your take on these as well. One of them being, I am here for you. I'm here for you. How powerful is that, therapist, for someone who's going through?
Yeah, again, that's a simple word, a phrase, but it's so powerful because people often think they're by themselves or no one cares. That one statement, man, you really do care? Now you can see the sparks of life coming back.
Mm-mm-mm. I care. Those two words can mean so much to people who's going through. And therapists, we don't have much time left, but how often do you find that people who are going through, people are around during the initial stages, but afterwards, there's nothing. It's just silence. There's no phone calls, no call. How often do you find that to be the case, or is that the case with a lot of clients that have lost?
It is with a lot of clients. But listen, a lot of times we really don't know what to say.
Yes.
How do you console someone who's hurting? And what do you say so that you don't make it sound like it's about you and you really want to convey? So some people, it's just so hard that because of their loss of words, they don't say anything. But it doesn't mean they care. But here's what I would suggest. Maybe I just go and I sit by you. I don't have to say a word. I just sit by you. Or maybe I touch your arm or your hand. That touch says I care. It's more powerful than the word because it's an action.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't always have to say anything, but it's what you do. If I go and sit by you, or if I go and just hug you without even saying a word, I don't have to say anything. I've said it all in the action.
That's wonderful. That's beautiful. And I love that you said sometimes people don't know what to say. You're absolutely right. And that's why I wanted to share these powerful things. Like you said, just saying, I care. And is there anything I can do to help? You know, would you like for me to help you with some housework or grocery shopping? You know, would you like for some company for just a little while? Or would you like for me to drive you to an appointment? Even if the person says no, they may say no 10 times, but that next time you ask, they may say, yes, I could use some help. Or do you
That's
need
right.
someone to talk with? How powerful is that? I'm here for you. Do you need someone to talk to? Now, that's a powerful one, therapist. What do you think about that one?
I love it. And you hit the nail on the head. Some of the simplest phrases are the most powerful, and it's the thought that counts instead of trying to come up with explanations of, oh, God's will, and you'll meet them again. All you're doing is making the problem worse. Hey, look, I don't understand. I can't comprehend what you're going through, but I just want you to know I'm here for you in whatever way it's possible.
In whatever way it's possible. In the last few, and then we're going to have to go. Your life makes a difference to me. And I just called to let you know I care. Beautiful. Or I understand. If you really do understand, don't say it if you don't understand, but if you really do, let them know that you understand and the experience that you went through. And also letting people know it's okay to feel this way. You're not weak. You're not defective. It's okay. And one of the things that you had mentioned there, Dr. Lake, before, there is hope. I loved it when you spoke on that. And if you don't mind, before we go, just speak on that, those three words, there is hope, before we go.
We always got to offer people a glimmer of something better than what they're experiencing. And if you truly believe there's hope, then convey that in a way that person says, you know what, there is hope. I don't see it yet, but I'll keep moving until I get there.
I love it. And, you know, we all may go through this one day. If you haven't, you just may. And if you need someone to talk to, therapist, please give them your number so that they can give you a call.
It is 714-376-8643. 714-376-8643.
Yes, and if you are grieving through the holidays of a loss of a loved one or a loss of something else, just know that there is hope and there are people that are available for you and healing will come. This has been the Marketing Pulpit. Thank you so much for joining us here today, along with my co-host, Dr. Ira Lake. I'm Sharon, and we wish you wonderful, wonderful right here in the Marketing Pulpit.